Today on the John Akerberg Show, every parent knows that newborn children are beautiful and a joy to their hearts. But many parents and grandparents struggle to know how to inspire genuine Christian faith in their children or grandchildren as they grow up. God tells us, teach your children to love the Lord your God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. And teach this to your children when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Mom and dad are the main models of how their children will learn to live their lives. A Lifeway research study found 43% of church-attending teenagers said the reason they wanted to keep on living for Christ and regularly attending church was because they wanted to follow a parent or family member's example. But how else can you model your own Christian faith each day so that it will impact your children and they will want to follow Jesus when they are older? Today, my two guests are Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, a well-known international speaker and best-selling author, and her daughter, Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright, who teaches an online weekly Bible study. They will share practical ideas and real-life stories from the Graham and Lotz families to show you how you can daily pass on God's truth to your children and grandchildren. Join us for this special edition of the John Akerberg Show. Welcome to our program. I'm John Akerberg, and we're glad that you're here. I've got two wonderful ladies that are on the set today, and they are just full of fun. I'll tell you what. One is Ann Graham Lotz, who is Billy Graham's daughter. And then we got Billy Graham's granddaughter, who wrote this book with her, Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright. And it's called Jesus Followers, Real Life Lessons for Igniting Faith in the Next Generation. And boy, do we got a story for you today. Now, here's the thing. Folks, don't turn the channel, because right now you're thinking, because we've got Billy Graham's daughter and granddaughter here, the fact is, you know, I can't measure up to them. The question is, I want to talk to them about when Ann Graham Lotz was supposed to speak, when the Holy Spirit was saying, you need to witness for me, and she said, no, can't do it. You say, now, that's a story I got to hear. Her daughter wrote the story. But before we get to that, how many times have you said, when you knew you were supposed to witness, you said, I'm not going to do it? So it's not them. It's all of us. There have been times when I knew. I had a lady one time in an airport that was laying there, and she was crying. And I thought, man, her heart's breaking, and she was sobbing. I need to go over there and talk with her, and what am I going to say? And I just felt a tug on my heart, and I never said anything to her. I always felt guilty about that. And you've come across an occasion where you were supposed to witness. Could have been a child, could have been an adult, could have been somebody that you knew that needed your help, and you said no. It was a failure. That's what I want to talk about today. Doing it scared. How do you do it scared? And this story, Rachel Ruth, starts out in Switzerland, where your mom got invited to a big deal, an economic summit in Switzerland, Davos, Switzerland. And been there, done that. And I'll tell you this, that if you want to go to the intellectuals, if you want to go to the people that are smart, the people that when you walk in, you just say, stay 5 feet away from them because they know more than I do. That's the crowd. And they were meeting there, and they invited your mom to come as a religious leader to be a part of the gathering. And stuff happened. Take it up from there.
So I want to start this off by just saying my mom, that's one of the things I love about her the most, is she is so courageous. She does speak up. She is very bold. And in this particular situation, it was just one of those times where she shared with me that she wished she had spoken up, and maybe the Lord had put it on her heart, and she just didn't. And so,
Just say something, because sure. Before I went to Davos, and it was the World Economic Forum, people took me aside and said, Ann, those people there think all evangelicals are weird, so don't open your mouth and prove them to be right.
Right.
And so I felt like the enemy had come in before I even got to Davos to silence me. So
let me also throw in something here. This woman has to be the bravest woman I've ever met in terms of witnessing. Yeah. I mean, she'd witness to a tree if it was talked to her, all right? I'm saying that there was a circumstance where she had been on a plane one day, and I went on the plane the next day, and I was going to pray with the pilot. So I went up to the pilot, and I said, hey, you guys, I'm a Christian. I would like to pray with you guys. Is that okay? And the guy says, this has got to be some kind of a record. He says, I've been flying this airplane for 28 years. And there was a lady that came by here yesterday, and she said she wanted to pray with us. I said, oh, who is that? Oh, that was Ann Graham Lotz. And I thought, bingo. And I thought, a doubleheader. And the pilots couldn't believe it. They had never had that. In 28 years, not one Christian had ever asked to pray with them. I'm just saying, I've seen her witness in all kinds of places. So this is the exception to the rule. But I know what it's like when you know you have all the knowledge that you should witness and you don't. So pick it up right there.
Well, and it's so great that the Lord, when we do make a mistake like that, he doesn't kick us to the curb.
I like that too.
Yeah, and so Mom got on the plane and she was sitting there and she said,
I've been asked in the spur of the moment to be a part of a panel in front of a whole packed room full of people discussing the evangelicals and politics in America. And when they came up to me and said, would you fill in the panelists? We had a panelist that didn't show up. Would you fill in? And I said, no. So John, to be honest, I didn't hear the Holy Spirit telling me to do it. I just knew that I had the opportunity, but I wasn't prepared. I didn't know I was going to do it. So I said, no, because I didn't want to open my mouth and say something stupid, you know, and but when I left, as soon as that forum was over, I knew.
Yeah,
I
you went
failed.
Right in the dumps.
Dumps is not the word for it. I spiraled down to. I felt like I could no longer continue in ministry if Ann Graham Lotz could not share the gospel when I was given opportunity, an incredible place. Then, you know, who was I and what was I even doing? So that's when I got on the plane, and Rachel can pick up her story.
Yeah. Well, it's Mom's story, but it made an impact on me. So when she said when she got on the plane and she felt like she was down in the dumps and sitting in the chair, then there was this commotion, and the lady that was traveling with her was just like, look, who just got on the plane? And Mom just kind of looks up and didn't know who they were.
Mom doesn't care a bit about celebrities. She doesn't care who's on the plane. She didn't want to look up. Yeah. But people on the plane were going nuts. Yeah. And they were gossiping. And they were standing up. And they were gawking. Yeah. And they were looking and doing their thing. Why?
Because it was Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. And so they're sitting not far away from where Mom was. And so while people are taking pictures and the plane takes off and everything, and I think Mom fell asleep, and when she woke back up, they were still taking pictures, still looking at her. They're getting close to their destination, and then Mom was thinking to herself, you know, why do they get all this attention? What is the big deal? And then the Lord put it on her heart.
Yeah, but before that, the fact is, for some reason, you had seen a documentary a couple weeks back about Angelina Jolie and the darkness that she was in, and you immediately concluded she needs Jesus. Yeah. Somebody needs to tell her about Jesus.
I had prayed for her after seeing that documentary.
Yeah, and so then the Holy Spirit whispered to you, you need to talk to them. And what did you tell the Holy Spirit?
No. So what he said to me was, Ann, why do you think you're on this plane? Mm-hmm. Because, that's exactly what came to my mind, because I thought, everywhere they go, do people do that? Take pictures, gawk, say stupid things, you know? And does anybody ever share the gospel? And that's when the Holy Spirit said, Ann, why do you think you're on this plane?
Yeah. And what did you tell the Holy Spirit back?
I said, it's not me, because I'm a failure. Don't you remember? I just failed. And so he put it to me. I'll have to tell it because Rachel wasn't there. But so he impressed on my heart, and I said, all right. I said, I'll go. I'll do it. And I went to unbuckle my seatbelt, and just then the pilot came on and said, we're approaching London, and everybody has to stay in their seat. You know how they do. And I said, all right, Lord, thank goodness. I would have been willing, but you know I can't do that. And so just then, the pilot came back on and said, we've put in
a
holding
there.
Motion.
You know,
because we've got to hold, we can't land right now. And I said,
but
oh,
you
my
were
goodness.
So you were so feeling bad that you rushed to the lavatory because you thought you were going to be sick.
Well, no, I was scared to death. I rushed to the lavatory because I I just had to catch my breath because the pilot said, we're going to hold for 10 minutes. So the plane was rocking, and I went into the bathroom and shut the door, and the plane was rocking. I was almost going from wall to wall in that little tiny place. And I said, Lord, if you will stop the plane from rocking, I'll go out and I'll share the gospel with Angelina. She was sitting on the aisle. And just like that, John, I mean, I'm talking about as soon as the words got out of my mouth, the plane was just as calm. And I slipped out and I knelt down beside her and I asked her if I could speak to her.
You first of all, you pell-melled out of that lavatory and you went right to her.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So you talk about
before
what
I could,
was doing it scared.
Before I could think about it. Yeah. Before I could chicken out. But I did. And I had seen her the night before at Davos. In fact, I'd bumped into Brad Pitt as they were coming in the door and I was leaving. So I don't know if I told her I'd been at Davos, and I told her, I didn't tell her identify myself, but I told her I'd been there as a religious leader. And then just in 2 minutes, I just shared the gospel.
You said, could I share the gospel with you? Uh-huh. And she said, yes.
Yeah, well, I don't think I asked her. I asked her if I could speak to her, and she said yes. And then I just didn't ask her if I could share the gospel. That's what I did, how her sins could be forgiven, how she could know that she could start again, that she could be a new person in Christ, and that he loved her.
And Brad Pitt had his hand,
Baseball cap pulled down over his face.
He was sacked out over on the side.
And I don't know if he was sacked out or he just didn't want to engage.
He just didn't want to hear.
Yeah, but and he might not have been able to hear because my voice is soft and the plane was going. But she kept her eyes on my face and she listened. And when I finished, she thanked me. And I just patted her hand and went back to my seat. And one of the things it did, which is what Rachel Ruth said about God not kicking you to the curb, because I felt God gave me an opportunity that kept me from going down to that spiral where I wouldn't be able to come out of it. And I was supposed to go to Northern Ireland. The next flight was taking me to Northern Ireland where I was speaking at an evangelism conference, you know. And I don't think I could have gotten up on that platform had I not had an opportunity to say, all right, I failed, but failure doesn't have to be final.
Rachel Ruth, tell me about the fact that when you went to Mexico one time, your mom scared the wits out of you by actually being a witness, and talk about that one.
No, we were leaving Mexico, and we're in the airport, and we were waiting to board, and there was commotion again, and this man and his entourage were getting on the plane.
Another celebrity.
Yeah, and my sister was the one that recognized that it was President Musharraf of Pakistan.
Yeah.
And so we get on the plane, and he's just maybe two rows in front of us. And so we just can't even believe it. I mean, I didn't know that he would even fly on a regular plane.
Yeah, not only that, but this is the guy that was messing with George Bush in terms of what do you do with the nuclear weapons. They had 160 nuclear weapons in Pakistan at that time. The president was trying to figure out how they could be safe. So he was in conversation, and the president of Pakistan didn't want to do that. Now, so that's the person that all of a sudden she says what?
I was on the plane. And then the Holy Spirit says the same thing to me. Yeah. And why do you think you're on this plane?
Yeah, yeah. And he's surrounded by security.
Everybody else sitting around us was his security.
So you're watching her. Now what do you do?
Well, we get off the plane, and for some reason he was standing there right when we're exiting. And so Mom just stops at that first point just to tell him God loves him. It was just short at that point, and then we just kept walking.
Because
like,
all
okay,
the people were behind trying to exit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we get out to where, you know,
get
in customs where you have to get your bags, and for some reason he has to go to customs too and get his bags. I thought he would have people to do that for him, but he's standing there, and Mom's like, I've got to go share the gospel with him. And I looked at Mom, I said, Mom, they're going to throw you to the ground. I mean, this is crazy. You can't approach the president of Pakistan and not have something happen, especially in customs. And she was like, just gave me this look, you know, I'm going to go do it. And
so, the look is, I failed once, I'm not going to fail again.
And so I literally couldn't even watch. I turned around and was talking to my sister while my mom went to go talk to him and talked to him for a while. She was able to approach him. They let her talk to him. And she shared the gospel with him, told him about Jesus and what he did on the cross for him, and that all he had to do was place his faith in Jesus, and he could receive eternal life, receive forgiveness. And he listened, and then he thanked her, and then she comes back to us, and I couldn't even believe it. But what an example that we're talking about passing it on to the next generation. That taught me, it doesn't matter if it's the president of Pakistan, it doesn't matter if it's Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, it doesn't matter if it's your next door neighbor. You share the gospel with who God puts in front of you, and let God just give you the words. Don't pre-plan it. Don't get nervous. Just say, open your mouth, and God gives you the words.
Yeah. Let's put a verse on the board for the people to see. God says in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Why is it that we as Christians, we have to back off when the fact is people need the Lord all over the place? What other illustrations from your family have you found this to be true?
One of the examples, I wasn't present when it took place, but my mother told me she and my father used to take writing vacations, which maybe you do, but it's not really vacation, but they go down to work, and they were all supposed to gather for dinner. She was there, and my father, and I think there were two other couples, and they were looking for my father. They couldn't find him, and so they went out to look for him, and he was in back of a hedge in the where they were staying. It was like a, I don't know if it was like a hotel or a resort, but he was in back of the hedge just sitting on the ground witnessing to the groundskeeper and sharing the gospel with the ground. And that kind of example, my father did it with the guy that cut his hair. He did it with a woman that would come up to the house to do his manicure or give him a massage. He shared the gospel with the president of the United States for however many presidents there were, one after another. He shared in Russia when they were all coming down on him, went to North Korea, shared with the president of North Korea. But he also had eyes and ears and a heart for what we would call the nobodies. But there's really nobody that's a nobody.
That's right.
But ordinary people. So it didn't matter. It's just what you just said. It's anybody and everybody needs Jesus. Listen to me. There's only one way to heaven. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one will come to the Father. That means no Baptist or Buddhist or Muslim or Methodist or atheist or agnostic or American or Russian or African or European. No one will come to the Father except they come through me. So Jesus is the only way.
I remember one time when I was a kid, I used to play baseball with your dad because we're on the Youth for Christ side of the fence, okay? We used to go to the picnics and so on. And so Dad took me to the first New York Crusade. And so I was about 10, 11, something like that. And they put me out in the stadium and I sat there and there was nobody there. They just said, stay there until we come back. Now, Billy come in with four big cops. I mean, huge cops. So I asked my dad, well, what did Billy do wrong? They said, you know, they're just guarding them. I said, fine. So I went out and sat there. Nobody was there. Finally, the stadium opened up, and the fact is that people started coming in. They filled up that section. They filled up the whole place. And I didn't know what the guys did. I mean, you know, I played baseball with these guys. And so I watched them all up there, Cliff and Billy and Dad and Bev Shea and all those guys. So they were all up there, and I watched the meeting. And Billy gave the invitation. All of a sudden, the whole place were in the middle. I was in the middle of Madison Square Garden, got up and went forward to the front. I was still sitting there by myself. Now, I remember Dad telling me that one day Billy got an invitation for lunch. Didn't know what it was all about, but it was one of the Rothschilds. And so he thought, okay, I'll go for a little lunch. And he put on a pair of slacks. He just put on a jacket. He didn't know what to wear. I think he had an open collar. Didn't even put a tie on. And he went over to this apartment building, and he knocked on the door, and she opened the door, and there was the who's who of New York was sitting there. And Billy was in slacks. So he was feeling kind of weird being in slacks. But she said, I thought that it would be good for you to come and meet some of my friends, and I'd like you to say a few words about the gospel. And he shared the gospel for a few minutes in his slacks, just off the cuff. And basically, a lot of those people came to know the Lord, and also a bunch of them paid for that New York crusade, helped pay for it, okay? Now, I think your dad lost 30 pounds in that crusade, preaching, because it was supposed to go for a few weeks, went for like six, seven, whatever it was. And I'm saying I loved the courage that it took him just to stand there with a little jacket on, with all these highfalutin people, and to express the gospel. Now, folks, here's what I want you to get from this. You might be scared in witnessing to your neighbor. You might be scared witnessing to your teacher of your kid at school. You might be scared talking to your neighbor. You might be scared talking to relatives. You might be scared talking to your own kid. It's time for you to say, Lord, I want to do that. However this turns out, I need to speak up and tell them, I'm a Christian. I know you. You can forgive sins. You can give peace. You can give joy. And Ann, I'm going to ask you to pray for people that have chickened out. They know what you went through. They were terrified. It might be a different situation than we've been talked about. But the fact is they need to commit themselves. You committed yourself. As a result of that, you're not doing that again. And you kept your word. And I want you to pray for them that they would commit themselves. Do it scared. Yeah, witness right. scared. Yeah, if you right. do it even screwed up, right. do it scared. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay?
Yeah,
would
yeah.
you pray for them yeah. that they God would have the, yeah. give them the courage yeah. Yeah. that they would witness yeah. 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 for the Lord Jesus?
Yeah. So pray with me, please. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the truth. Thank you that we have a message that's worth talking about and sharing with others. And so I pray for each one who has tried to do that, perhaps, and maybe they were asked questions they couldn't answer, or maybe the person they were witnessing to was richer than they were, or more educated, or of a different nationality, or there's so many things that can cause us to be intimidated. So, Lord, right now, I just pray that you would give us eyes to see the heart of these individuals, that you have created each one in your image for the purpose of knowing you in a personal relationship through faith in Jesus. Help us to see them with your eyes. And then, Lord, I pray that when we open our mouths, and I pray that for those who are listening, that you would give them the word you promised in John 16, that to the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have to be afraid of what we're going to say, because the Holy Spirit at that moment would give us the words to say. So help us to put our trust in you to give us words, and then open our mouths and speak. And Lord, just to share a testimony, what you mean to us, how it is in this day and time, we have hope, we have peace, we are looking forward to the future, and just share what you mean to us, Lord. And so we ask, please, that as a result of this segment with John, that you would just send out people grasping the baton for themselves and then making the effort to extend it to the next person, whether they receive it or not, Lord, that's their decision, their choice as to whether they receive it. It's our choice to extend it and to give them that opportunity. So we pray this, please, in your name and for your glory. Amen.
You've been listening to Ann Graham Lotz and Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright, and you have probably thought, well, listen, you've got naturally two women that love the Lord and are witnesses and read their Bible, but you're not talking about my family. That's not me. My kids are all messed up. Our family's messed up. Some of my kids have gone off to school. Some of my kids are into drugs. Some of my kids are into sex. And the fact is, I don't know what to do. We're going to talk about that next week. So I hope that you'll join us.